While you're finding Galatians 3 in your copy of the scriptures, I will dismiss the children, ages 4 through the 4th grade, to children's church. Children, you may walk to the back where there are workers prepared to take you and teach you during this time. If you have children that age, they are welcome to be in the service or go to children's church. If you don't hear anything else I've said, hear this. You ever hear that? You heard it just earlier, right? Pastor Greg, in giving that his announcement about the promotion of the Fall Family Festival. He said, if you haven't heard anything else, hear this. Occasionally, people will say that. If you haven't heard anything else, hear this. If you don't get anything else, get this. What does that indicate? That's pretty important. It's the most important thing to hear, to understand, and to remember. The Apostle Paul was in some respects like that about the gospel. Paul preached a lot, he taught a lot, but the one thing that he wanted people to understand was not just that there is a gospel, but what the gospel is and what the gospel is not. Some of you perhaps are getting tired of hearing what Paul has to say in Galatians, because we've been hitting it again and again and again from this aspect and from that aspect. But Paul wants to make sure that people understand the gospel. The Holy Spirit who inspired the Apostle Paul wants to make sure that we understand the gospel. And in Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, here's the gospel in a nutshell. You cannot mix faith and works in terms of trusting Christ, in terms of becoming a Christian. You've got to get them in the right order. It is, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, it always results in works, but works are the results. They are the fruit. They are not the root of a personal relationship with Christ. They are not what brings about salvation. They are the evidence of salvation. Having hit that again and again, and Paul's going to hit it again and again and again in Galatians, Paul now takes a slightly different tack to address the same thing. And in Galatians chapter 3, these first five verses in particular, he addresses the matter of the Holy Spirit. And he shows how the Holy Spirit works, not according to works, or not according to law, but again, according to faith. Let's read what Paul writes in Galatians 3, beginning in verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians! Do you get the impression that Paul was a little ticked at the Galatians? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Would you bow with me again as we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, help us to understand and embrace the truth. Lord, we pray in particular for those among us who are confused about the gospel. Those, Lord, who don't understand, have not received the message that there's nothing that they have to give to you. to make themselves right with you. That there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can say. Nothing they can bring except their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. Father, we pray that You would help us this morning to hear and apply the truth of Your Word to our lives. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would do His work. We pray, Lord, that He will help us to be alert, to be awake. Lord, deliver us from sleepiness. Deliver us, Father, from distractedness. Lord, may we not only understand, but apply Your Word to our lives this morning. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Just as the Apostle Paul has taught already that the idea of being right with God through the law in any shape, form, or fashion contradicts salvation by grace through faith. So now he shows the Galatians and us that believing that you can be saved by keeping the law, by doing good works, contradicts the whole work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul's going to show here in these verses, as he addresses the work of the Spirit, that the reception of the Holy Spirit is by faith. We receive the Spirit by faith. That the demonstration of the Spirit in our lives is by faith. And then he's going to show that the sanctifying work or the sanctification of the Holy Spirit in our lives is by faith, not by works. Let's notice these three things. First of all, notice Paul writes that the reception of the Spirit is by faith. We receive the Holy Spirit of God in our lives by faith. Here's what he says. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Paul asked him a question, and that's how he's going to address this. He asked three questions of these readers, of these professing Christians in Galatia. And the first one was, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God or the Word of Christ. That's how faith comes. We hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works in our lives and enables us to trust Christ, and we receive the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit is something that occurs when we are saved. When we believe in or on Christ as Savior and Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, salvation is not trusting the Holy Spirit. It is putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. But the Scriptures are clear that when we do that, a number of things occur. One of the things is that God immediately, He counts our sin to Christ's account, and He counts Christ's righteousness to our account. But that's not all He does. He immediately puts His Holy Spirit within us. He gives us His Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. We read that earlier. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Now notice here, Paul speaks both of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. It's the same, one and the same, Holy Spirit. Believers are indwelt by Christ, by His Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, who indwells us. So that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a believer. You're not a Christian. This is not some second work of grace that comes upon you. It is not something that happens at some future time after trusting Christ as Savior and Lord. We receive the Holy Spirit when we put our faith in Christ. John writes in 1 John 3:23-24, and this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is referred to by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. He says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, unlike some teaching, is synonymous with receiving the Holy Spirit at salvation. Again, it is not something that takes place in some separate work, some separate experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit coming in and filling us with Christ, with Himself. But in addition to receiving the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit, Paul says that by faith we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." Notice, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Paul's point here is that Christians, the Galatian Christians, the Reynoldsburg Christians, receive the Holy Spirit by faith, because by faith that we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And receiving the Spirit is just another way of expressing the new birth, which is a result of God's grace, not works. That is, not through keeping the law. So Paul first says, listen, when you receive the Holy Spirit, was that because of something you did? Was that because you were circumcised? Was that because you kept the dietary laws? Was that because you did something? No, it was because you trusted in Christ and Him alone. So the reception of the Spirit is completely by faith. But not only that, he says the demonstration of the Spirit is also by faith. If you look down in verse 5, this is what he writes. "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" How did that happen? The Lord gives you the Holy Spirit and some miraculous things take place in your life. Now, evidently, when the Galatians believed the gospel and received the Holy Spirit, there were some visible manifestations. And we can see in the book of Acts that often salvation was accompanied by a visible manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it was speaking in tongues. Sometimes there were other things that took place. These were signs. They were done in order to demonstrate the truth of the gospel and of the power of God to change lives. Paul writes here, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith?" Now, the word that is translated miracles is really the Greek word for power, powers. Does he do these powerful things by works or by faith? That's the point. Secondary point is this. When the Holy Spirit comes into someone's life, there is an expectation of power. There is an expectation of powerful manifestation of the Spirit's work in people's lives. Now, sometimes, especially in, again, Book of Acts, other places, those were miraculous things. The gift of tongues, healings, exorcisms, those kinds of things. Does God still do those kinds of things? I think He does. Mostly, personally, I believe that where it's generally on the mission field. But God still does powers. He still does miraculous works, because the other way that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself miraculously, in addition to what are called the sign gifts or the sign works, is the work of changing lives. For example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you want to follow along. In fact, let me encourage you to turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Again, if you're using the Red Pew Bibles, 1146 or 1169. Because even in the New Testament, the demonstration of the Spirit's power through speaking of tongues or healings, those were not universal experiences. But the experience of changed lives was and is a universal experience for everyone who believes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, follow as we read the entire chapter. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Common beginning, common greeting. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. How? Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. So that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for a son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Paul says, the word of God came to you in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit and full conviction. And how do we know that? Because your lives are changed. You turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And how did that happen? It happened when you believed the gospel. Not when you were circumcised, because they weren't. Not when you did good works. Not when you did something to merit or to earn it. But when you put your trust in Christ. When the Holy Spirit gave you new life, he changed you from the inside out. And is continuing to change you, which we're going to get to in a minute. If there's been no change, there's been no new birth. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. When I got saved, the Lord changed my heart. He changed my desires. The most probably observable thing to others was he changed my vocabulary. You know what? For years, I had tried to change some of my vocabulary without success. But when Jesus saved me, he changed it. You know, nobody had to tell me, you need to stop cussing. The Lord took it away. Now, the Lord doesn't always work immediately like that to take everything away. In fact, I mean, I am not without sin. I know that doesn't shock you, all right? But there were some things that the Lord took away, changed immediately. He changed my heart. He changed my desires. And I'm grateful he changed many, many things. He's still changing many things. Here is the point. When the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and life, he does so by faith. And when he comes in, there is evidence. There is a manifestation of power. The power of a changed life that is continually changing. And that leads us to the third point that the Apostle Paul makes in Galatians chapter 3. And that is that the sanctification of the Spirit is by faith. The reception of the Spirit, by faith in Christ. Demonstration of the Spirit, these powers, miracles if you will, Greek word I didn't mention, dunamis, is by faith. The sanctification of the Holy Spirit is by faith. Notice Paul writes in verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, let's say you acknowledge that, yes, I was justified. I was saved by grace through faith. But now I'm on my own. You know, now I've got to become better by just pulling up my bootstraps and doing the best I can. Is that what you think? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? In other words, is the matter of your growth and grace, is the matter of your being transformed into the image of Christ, being conformed to Him, which is God's will for you, is that just, you're just on your own for that? Are you just going to do that by doing good works? No. Having begun by the Spirit, we're going to be perfected by the Spirit, and He works by faith. The Galatians couldn't deny that the Holy Spirit had begun a work in them. But the Scriptures say, Philippians 1:6, that He who began a good work in you will perform it, will complete it at the day of Christ. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? That is, by keeping the law? Well, the expected answer is no. In Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, familiar passage to many of you, Paul writes this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, again, notice he says work out, not work for. We don't work for our salvation, we work out our salvation. Then he adds this, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." The one who works in us both to will and to work is the Holy Spirit. Later in this same letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul contrasts the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are things like sexual immorality, idolatry, strife, jealousy, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. But then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One is a work of the flesh, something we do. The other is the fruit of the Spirit working in our hearts and in our lives. And how does He do that? He does it as we walk from faith to faith, as we continually trust in the Lord. In Colossians 2 verse 6, Paul writes this, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Some commentators point out that it was by faith that we received Christ Jesus the Lord, and so it is by faith that we are to walk in Him. Not by works, but by faith. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul explains about how we're to live the Christian life. And he basically says, our baptism is a picture of what happens to us when we are become believers in Christ. We are buried with Christ, and then we are raised. That's salvation. And therefore, we are to live in newness of life. In verses 11 through 14, Paul writes this, "So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Consider yourselves, count yourselves, King James says, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. We do that by faith. But then, he adds, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." You see, the Christian life is not, here's the list of what you do and here's the list of what you don't do, and so you follow that list, those rules. Don't do this and do this. No, we're not under law. That doesn't mean we're free to break the law, but we're not under the law, but under grace. And thus we live. One of the early called church fathers, Augustine or Augustine, is purported to have said, the way to live the Christian life is you love God supremely and do as you want. Do as you will. It's a matter, if you love the Lord and seek to live for Him, then we're not under the law, but under grace. One writer says this, consider verse 3 carefully. It is not directed to those who are yet to start the Christian life. Again, verse 3 says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? It is not directed to those who are yet to start the Christian life. It is written for us who began some time ago and are now in grave danger of trying to live the Christian life in a way that nullifies grace and leads to destruction. The point of the verse is that you must go on in the Christian life the same way you started it. Since we began by the work of the Spirit, we must go on relying on the Spirit. The essence of the Galatian heresy is the teaching that you begin the Christian life by faith and then you grow in the Christian life by works. That is, by drawing on powers in yourself to make your contribution to salvation. One modern form of the heresy is God helps those who help themselves. If you buy into that as a way of advancing in the Christian life, you have put works where faith belongs. Faith is the only response to God's word, which makes room for the Spirit to work in us and through us. Flesh, on the other hand, is the insubordinate, self-determining ego, which in religious people responds to God's word, not with reliance on the Spirit, but with reliance on self. It can produce a very rigorous morality, but it nullifies grace and removes the stumbling block of the cross. We are to go on in the Christian life the same way we began the Christian life, by grace through faith. So there are two important truths that Paul and the Holy Spirit would have us understand. Number one, it is expected that Christians will grow in grace. That we will be perfected. Now, we want that perfecting process won't be finished in this life. We will make progress in growing in Christ. That's the first thing. And again, if there's no sign, no evidence, no fruit, we need to go back to the beginning and ask if we actually started the Christian life through faith in Christ. But then the second truth is that this growth is a work of the Holy Spirit by faith. It is not accomplished by trusting in our ability, but rather in crying out to God for strength daily and trusting in His power to subdue our sin and help us to live obediently. Let me share with you the way one brother in Christ seeks to apply this. He writes, here is how I try to live the Christian life so that I can say it is not I but Christ. It is not by the flesh but by the Spirit. I use an acronym, APTAT, APTAT. Okay. That's kind of hard thing to visualize, you know. It's not like faith, you know, or something like that. But anyway, APTAT. I begin my day with it and I follow it when I must exert some effort to do right. The goal is for this way of thinking and feeling to become so much a part of me that I approach all of life this way. A stands for acknowledge. I acknowledge that apart from Christ, I can do nothing of eternal value. John 15:5. I acknowledge with Paul in Romans 7:18, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. I acknowledge that the old I, which loved to deny this fact, was crucified with Christ. I start with acknowledging those facts. And then P, I pray. I pray with Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3:12 that Christ would make me abound in love. I pray that grace might reign in my life through righteousness, according to Romans 5:21. I pray that God would produce in me the obedience He demands. I pray. T, I trust. This is the key. Because Galatians 3:5 says, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" In other words, the ongoing work of the Spirit to enable us to love as we ought happens only as we trust the promises of God, Galatians 5:6. So by faith I laid hold on a promise like Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." I trust that as I act, it will not be I, but the power of Christ in me, and me only, clinging to Him in faith. So, I acknowledge, I pray, I trust. Second A, I act. I act in obedience to God's Word. See, it's not a passive thing. It's not a let go, let God. There is action. I act in obedience to God's Word. But oh, what a world of difference now between such an act and what Paul calls works of the law. The acknowledgement that I am helpless, the prayer for divine enablement, the trust that Christ Himself is my help and strength, these transform the act so that it is a fruit of the Spirit, not a work of the flesh. I act. And then T, finally, when the deed is done and the day is over, I thank God for whatever good may have come of my life. Colossians 1, 3-5. I thank Him for conquering, at least in some measure, my selfishness and pride. I give Him the glory. 1 Peter 4:11. Aptat. Acknowledge your inability to do good on your own. That's A. P, pray for divine enablement. T, trust the promises of God for help and strength and guidance. A, act in obedience to God's Word. T, thank God for whatever good comes. If you feel that this makes too little of you and too much of God, then I urge you to check your testimony against that of Paul, who said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Of course, in order to do this on a daily basis, you have to have done it initially, in acknowledging that, as the Scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I am a sinner. And the wages of sin, what I have earned by my sin, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because it's likely that there are some here who've not done that. You can't live the Christian life by faith because you have not begun the Christian life by faith in Christ. By turning from sin and trust in yourself and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. For those of us who have begun, this is at least one way we can seek to continue to live the Christian life. Live in the Spirit. We receive the Spirit by faith. The Spirit demonstrates His work in our lives by faith. The Spirit sanctifies us, makes us like Christ by faith, by grace through faith. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We're going to sing that hymn. It's hymn number 447 in your hymnal. After I pray, we're going to stand together. Ken's going to come and lead us as we sing all verses of that Him. If you have not begun to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, then perhaps this morning you would like to come and say, Pastor, I'd like to know more about this. Perhaps you have believed on Christ, but have not followed Him in believer's baptism, and not professed Him publicly through baptism. Perhaps you need a church home and would like to come and say, Pastor, I'd like to know more about what is involved in being a member here at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. I'm going to be down at the front as we sing after I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for this great reminder by Your Spirit through Your servant, the Apostle Paul, that we have begun the Christian life by faith in Christ, and the Spirit indwells us. We received Him by faith, by our faith in Christ. And Lord, He continues His work by faith, and He will finish that work by grace through faith. Lord, we pray for those who need to begin the wonderful adventure of living with and for Jesus by faith. We pray, Father, for any who do not know Him. We pray, Lord, that You would bring them to salvation, even today. We pray, Father, for any others who need to make a public response. We pray, Lord, for Your will to be done. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Let's stand together to sing hymn number 447, Trust and Obey.